Well, a man who likes rain as well as anybody and is not as excited about really hot temperatures joins us on the phone this morning. And it's Larry Weber, our host for Backyard Almanac, right here on Fridays. Hey, Larry, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. You know, you mentioned forecast for both today and tomorrow to be in the 80s. Well, I'm sitting here right now in a temperature of 50 degrees, so it certainly doesn't feel like it, but we'll see what Mother Nature has in store. A lot depends on the direction of the winds and the thunderstorms. I told you last week we had a discussion about this. Yes, we're in our rainy season, so it's no surprise. We got a pretty good amount of rain several times this past week, but the total amount really didn't, according to the Weather Service, didn't really amount to that much. It only was 1 inch. And my house here is about the same. So it was a lot of, looked like it was going to, a lot of threat. But we didn't actually get the real downpours that much. Now, we'll see what Mother Nature has for the next few days. So far, June has been a little bit cooler than normal, and the precipitation, like I said, has been slightly below normal. We had a temperature yesterday, day before yesterday morning, 37 degrees for the low at the Weather Service. That was near a record low. And then yesterday we bounced back to be in the 70s, and today could, of course, be in the 80s. So this is June, and all kinds of things can happen. I usually expect a big storm somewhere. This is June 10. Well, on June 20, just 10 days from now, we will be at the summer solstice. Sunrises now are at 5:14 a.m. That is the earliest sunrise that we have for the entire year, and it stays there all this week. And then as we approach the solstice, it starts to get a little bit later, and then it continues to get later afterwards. The sun sets now after 9 o'clock, 9:03 for tonight, and they will continue to get later until early July when they start to get earlier. But we never quite make 16 hours of daylight. We are almost there, but not quite. We're in the waxing crescent of the moon now. And it's a beautiful smiley moon. I hope you had a chance to see it in the western sky last night. We also have plenty of other lights to see. Right now, Mars has been just spectacularly beautiful and bright in the southeast. And Jupiter, of course, has been going for a long time. And for those who have a little bit of a optical help, Saturn is visible also in the southeast. Plenty of things going on in the world of birds. This is the breeding time. This is the time when the birds sing on territory. They tell all the other birds that this place is taken and I need to raise my family here. And that's essentially what they're doing. We have this expression, free as a bird, but in June, birds are not free at all. They're very tied down to raising a family and feeding and singing and defending a territory constantly. This is the time when we also take advantage of that and do a breeding bird survey where we go out and listen to birds singing at various locations and make note of how many, what kind and how many there are. The Breeding Bird Survey started in the 1960s, and it was a way of checking populations of birds. Now, from the 1960s till now, is enough time that we get some pretty good data. But the way it's done, you have to do it consistently, and you have to, what I've been doing for more than 20 years is to drive a route of 25 miles, stop at every half mile and listen for 3 minutes for the different kinds of birds that are singing and make note of them. And it's been an interesting thing to do over the period of more than 20 years. There have been changes in the landscape, of course, and certainly changes with the birds. But overall, it's still been quite good. This week, I did have a chance to see a few families of birds. I saw the hooded merganser with her 8 babies. And then I saw a wood duck, 2 wood duck families, both of which had also about 8 babies. I did not find any nests this week, though I did do some searching for, I think, both a hummingbird and a chipping sparrow. Both are nesting in the yard, and I didn't see them. Plenty of other birds are calling, let me know that there's plenty of nests around. other things of note, frogs. I did a frog survey. I just talked about a breeding bird survey. Well, a frog survey is based on pretty much the same idea, that frogs will call when they're in territory and when they're mating. And the territory of the frogs are quite different. When frogs gather in a pond, each one has its own little territory, but it's not very big. So you have to go to the ponds to listen to them. You can't just stop out in nowhere where there's no water. And I do it three times a season. I do it three times a year. Once is in spring, earlier spring, and next one is about now, about in mid-spring. And then we get to one in summer. And the frog survey this week was really good. Almost every stop I heard gray tree frogs. They are the ones that are calling the loudest right now. It's kind of like a loud buzzer sound, very hard to imitate. And they come down out of the trees, and they go to the water, and they breed, and it's the only time in their life where they go to water. Otherwise, they're pretty much of a frog that stays on land. But they are calling by far the loudest. I did hear others. I heard chorus frog. I heard spring peeper. I even heard American toad at one spot. And then the mink frogs. Mink frogs and green frogs are also starting to call. Now, mink frogs and green frogs are both frogs of the summertime. And they continue their calling way now for the next eight weeks, more or less. They just keep right on calling in through the summer. And they're just starting to call this time as well. And another interesting aside of note, and that is a painted turtle coming up on the along the road and digging a hole to lay its eggs. There's an example of an aquatic animal that goes to land to lay the eggs. When a gray tree frog, a territorial or a terrestrial animal, goes to water to lay its eggs. So I've been expecting the turtles up on land for a while, but this is the first time I saw it. Laying eggs next to the road is not the best place. However, the ground is a little softer there, and they're able to dig into it. And as long as they don't go on the road, it's not the worst place to be. Of course, I was on the road, and that's where I saw it. I'm sure there are plenty of spots away from the road where they lay their eggs that I never saw. Other things of note, this is some interesting butterfly time. We're having the big tiger swallowtails in the region right now. This is one of our largest butterfly, black and yellow wings. And they get the name swallowtail because they do have extensions of their hind wing, which reminded some of the long feathers of a barn swallow. And the black and yellow, of course, reminded some of tigers. So it's named after a mammal and a bird, and it's a large butterfly. Yesterday, when I was in the yard, I saw the tiger swallowtail, but I also saw a very tiny butterfly, a butterfly called a skipper, gold skipper, which could fit on your fingernail. So we both the large and the small. And then also while I was sitting there, a monarch butterfly came by. Now, I had seen them before, but not in the yard. Plenty of other insects going on. This is dragonfly time. This kind of weather, we see the emergence of the dragonflies virtually every day. They emerge from the water. They climb up on a piece of plant or a dock or something sticking up out of the water. Their exoskeleton splits and opens down the back, and their newly developed adult body pulls out. They stretch out their wings. They pump fluids into them. They dry them in the morning sun, and then they take off flying. And we have many kinds of dragonflies around right now. I think you could probably see different ones almost every day. We might be kind of glad because this is, of course, also mosquito time, and dragonflies eat a lot of mosquitoes. This is also a good time to see the beginning of the fireflies. I started to see them last week. And fireflies, when they first emerge, I find the species that's the first one out tends to be hanging around the trees more. But as we get further into the firefly season, as we will in the coming weeks, they're more down in the grasses. Also down in the grasses is the spittlebugs. I talked about them last time. Well, they're out there. I see large amounts of them every day. I don't see the insect very often, but I certainly see the sign of where they lay their eggs. And then one day this week, this is kind of a surprise. I was looking at the lilacs, and I saw some movement there. It looked kind of like a bee. I went and took a closer look, and it was a clear-wing moth. There are kinds of moths. They're called clear-wing because you can pretty much see through their wings. But they're a yellowish color, and they mimic bumblebees. And so, yeah, this was a type of day-flying moth. Worldwide wildflowers continue. I've been talking in recent weeks about the woods wildflowers, and now the woods wildflowers, even the ones that are shade-tolerant, are fading. I found several in bloom this morning, but they're on their way down. And yes, the pink and yellow lady slippers are still in bloom out there if you get out and take a look at the right places. But I think most of the flowers now are starting to bloom out in the open. And it's not unusual right now, like I did on my walk this morning, to see things like daisies and hawkweeds and buttercups and yarrow and lupine. They're all out there and blooming out in the open. And we're going to see a lot more of that. It just explodes later in the month of June when we see very colorful roadsides and fields. The trees in bloom right now, I mentioned last time how Nannyberry was the first of the viburnums to bloom. Well, the second one has started to bloom this week, and that is the highbush cranberry. And it's interesting that we have three of them in our area, and none of them go by the name of viburnum. We have Nannyberry, highbush cranberry, and then the one still hasn't not yet bloomed is the arrowwood. Black cherry is in bloom, dogwoods are blooming, and so there's still plenty of the colors from those trees. Now, other plants, shrubby kind of plants that are blooming are the wild rose, probably the most obvious, big pink flowers. But this week, in the last couple days, I noticed the raspberries and the blackberries are now starting to bloom, and I'm always glad to see that because that means, yep, they're going to be a berry season a little bit later. Ferns are reaching very tall in the woods, not unusual to walk on the paths in the woods and have ferns up to my waist or maybe even my chest. There, it can get really tall under these kind of conditions. And we are on to the next phase of the trees, too, because the seeds are coming out right now. A red maple, or perhaps if you have silver maple in your neighborhood, you'll have the ripe seeds coming out. These seeds with the one big wing are called samaras. A lot of us call it helicopter things because of the way they flutter when they leave the trees. But they are getting ripe and falling right now, too. So we moved on to a new phase. Also, if this rain continues, as is forecast, we get a lot more moisture, we may see a more and more fungus coming in the woods. I have been seeing a softer shelf of fungus and oyster fungus virtually every day, but there's also been the beginning of a few other mushrooms showing up. So, yeah, Lisa, we are moving along, and as I said, the solstice is only 10 days away, so get out and enjoy it. Take care. And you know what? I don't think the mosquito situation is that intense so far. So we'll see. Take care.
Thank you much, Larry. Larry Weber this morning. He's an educator, an author, a naturalist, a tour guide, and our host for Backyard Almanac every Friday right here on Northland Morning.